understand, they weren't all Baptist. All right? So some of them weren't used to this kind of expressions of worship that some of us do. Now we're tame compared to some other denominations. Am I right? I mean, some of y'all from other, we're a little calm compared to some of them. So about the time we were coming, the first day as we arrived into Jerusalem, they took the route to where as you top the hill and coming over the hill and over the mountain, you overlook and see Jerusalem. And it was just lit up. I mean, it was just gorgeous. And our tour guide, who wasn't Baptist, which is fine, he put on this song. He put John Starnes, who used to sing, John's got a voice. He put that song on and John cut loose. And about the time he hit the chorus, we topped the hill. And when we topped the hill, we saw our very first view of the city of Jerusalem. Now, there was one dear brother in the back. He wasn't Baptist either, but he was very active in his worship. Brother, he went up the aisle of that motor coach. I thought he was going through the window. He scared me. I was sitting about halfway up. I don't sit toward back. I get car sick. And that's why I drive all the time that I can. But I was sitting about halfway back, and he went right by me, and he went hauling up through that aisle, and I went, Lord, he's going through the window. And he was shouting, he was praising God. He turned around and he ran back. And as he ran back, I said, get out of the way. Here he goes. And I thought, well, he's going to run in the restroom in the back, you know. So, and he went up and down the aisle about three. Back then, some other fellas joined him, you know, and they started running. You get more than one or two running an aisle of a motor coach, you got a problem. And so we stopped. Had to stop. And some of those dear fellas who had never expressed outwardly any emotion of worship, they come from some backgrounds that they're very serene, very quiet, and that's fine. That's just the way they are. They were the first ones off the bus. They ran off the bus, and Brother Ron, they ran around the bus. They turned Baptist Coastal at that point. They turned every denomination. I mean, seriously, that song was still playing on the motor coach. They opened the door, the side door, and these guys got out. And I said, well, I'm not going to get left out. Move. And I joined them. And then we just praised God and ran around that bus and looked at Jerusalem, thought about the new Jerusalem. We had ourselves a spell. And one of those fellows from out some place out west and some denomination that was very quiet and very real, he said, can I come to one of y'all's churches one day when we get back? And I said, brother, bring it on. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, folks. When God, the Holy Spirit, gets a hold of you and you begin, just let her loose. Just let it go. Because that's what we're going to do when we get to heaven. We're just going to worship. And by the way, we're not going to stand around and worry about what anybody else is thinking when we get to heaven. That's why we observe what we're going to observe this morning. I want you to be finding 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. And one of the great joys that we have as a church family is that of one of the two ordinances that Jesus left for us to observe and to remember what he has done for us. And that's what this is all about. That's what the New Jerusalem is going to be all about. And somebody said, aren't you looking forward to streets of gold? And I said, not really. In heaven, it's just dirt. What about mansions? That's okay. That'll be fine. Gates of pearl? Sure. Foundations made of precious stones? That's okay with me too. But man, the best thing about heaven is going to be about being with Jesus for all of eternity. We're going to get to worship, and we won't worry about what time it is. We don't have to go to lunch anywhere. We don't have to worry about getting home and watching the ball game or anything else. It's just going to be praising God for all of eternity. And you know, that's exactly why Jesus said, when I leave from this place in his upper room, that last night with his disciples, he said, I leave you a way to remember me. I leave you a way that in these days ahead, you can look at the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at it this morning. We're going to look at him. And as you stand to honor the reading of the Word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, Paul is writing this passage to the church at Corinth to correct their errors in regarding this observance. They had made a mockery. They had taken it for granted. And as typical with a lot of folks, they just became routine. And they lost the meaning of it all. So Paul sets it in order in verse 23. He says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." We'll pause right there and read the rest of it as we go. Father, in Jesus' name, oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you for the testimony we've heard from around the world this morning of your healing power and your saving grace. Thank you this morning that we can gather in this place and we can worship you. We can praise you. Thank you, Lord, that so many of our church family have been away from us, been sick. Lord, they've been out and we've missed them and they're back today, Lord. Thank you so much. Still others we miss. We hope they get better and get well and soon be back with us. And Lord, I thank you for in these few moments we have together that as we look at your precious, precious word and look at what you've left for us. And as we observe this morning, one of the sacred ordinances of the church, may we be reminded of what it's all about. Looking forward to that day when we'll gather with you in that new Jerusalem to worship forevermore. Draw us close to you today. This I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. Just three quick things this morning before we observe the Lord's Supper. As Paul is writing this to correct their misunderstanding and misinterpretation and misapplication of this, he first of all wants them in verses 23 to 25 to look back. He's reminding them of something that Jesus had done just a few short years earlier, the night of his betrayal, the night of his crucifixion, night before his crucifixion, excuse me, as he gathered to celebrate the Passover, he gathered with his closest companions. And he instituted a way that they would remember. He says, look back, Paul says. Look back at what Jesus did that night with his disciples by taking the bread and explaining the meaning of the bread, taking the cup and explaining the meaning of the cup, that the bread represents his body that was going to be broken and given as a sacrifice. That is, the cup represents the blood that would be shed for the forgiveness of your sins. And looking back, and sometimes, folks, it's time that we take a few moments and look back at what Jesus has done for us. We need to be reminded of what Christ the Savior has sacrificed for our sins. What he has given for our sanctification. What he has given so that one day we stand in his presence and we can worship him forever. And sometimes we show up at church forgetting what Jesus has done. We show up wanting something more for us. Listen, how can we ask for more when Jesus has already given so much? I said earlier last week, I said, if Jesus never done a single thing for you anymore, he's been better to you than you deserve. He's been better to us than we deserve. We look back and we see the sacrifice and the suffering and the Savior. And we think of all that he had done for us so that we could be saved. But notice in verse 26, as we continue reading, he reminds them to look forward. He says, for as often as you eat this bread, as you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Not just look back, but Paul tells us to look forward. Jesus said from this point on, he's instituted an ordinance. Now this is not a sacrament. A sacrament would give the indication that you've got to do this in order to be saved. No, Jesus took care of that on the cross. He died for your sins and for mine, and there's nothing more that needs to be done to pay for your salvation. He just asks that you simply receive the gift by faith. But you can't do anything to earn your salvation. You could drink every bottle of grape juice this side of the Mississippi River and still not have your sins forgiven. It's not about keeping a sacrament. This is an ordinance. This is a memorial. And he says, and every time you do this, you're looking at my death forward till I come. Jesus said, this is not the end. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm going to go back to heaven. But hey, one of these days, I'm coming back. And we're going to gather in the New Jerusalem. And we're going to be forever. All that God has done for us is all about looking forward to the day when it all comes together. Keith, I can't wait. We get to heaven, and Amber's going to run all over heaven with that little young man who can walk, and he's going to be here, and we're going to run all over heaven, and we're going to get to see him, and we're going to get to rejoice in him. And that fellow's going to look at every single one of you who helped Amber go on that trip and say, thank you. Thank you for sending those women, those young ladies to Nepal to share the gospel, to pray over me so that I could be healed and I can run on earth. Now I'm running in heaven. Isn't that going to be wonderful? Oh, that's going to be glorious. I was sitting here thinking while Andy was singing, wonder how those folks in Nepal would like it to hear Andy sing New Jerusalem. How about in the Philippines? Wouldn't that be something, Scott? Wouldn't that be something? I think Andy'd have a spell. Scott might have a spell. You ever seen that? Was something I'd like to see. You ever seen a computer geek get excited? I just love him. I really do. I just love him. But wouldn't that be great? That'd be great to see, let her bail it out in the Philippines and just work. Man, I'll tell you what, one of these days we're going to gather with all of the saints of all the ages and we're going to worship. And he says, every time you take of the cup and every time you take of the bread, you're looking and remembering my death until I come again. But notice, not only looking back and looking forward, but number three, he says to look inward. Verse 27, he says, whosoever eats of this bread and drinks of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, but let a man examine himself. So then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. None of us are worthy this morning. Paul says, but if you do it in an unworthy manner, the word there means, in an unworthy manner. If you have known sin in your life and you refuse to get right with God, and you take of bread and drink of the cup, you're doing it in an unworthy manner. You're bringing judgment upon yourself. If there's something that you've got a problem with someone else and you don't get it right, you take of bread and drink of the cup, you're doing it in an unworthy manner. If you've got a dirty habit or sin in your life that you're refusing to get right with God about, and you take of the bread and drink of the cup, you're doing it in an unworthy manner. And he says in verse 29 that those who do that drink damnation to themselves, not discerning the Lord's body, and for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means many have died. Because they've done it in one word. Jesus didn't die on a cross for you to walk all over the blood. Amen. And live in your dirty, rotten sin. And then walk out here and claim to be some holy Christian. Jesus died on the cross so you didn't have to live in that dirty sin anymore. You don't have to live with that dirty habit. You don't have to hide that sin anymore. Jesus is willing to forgive you if you'll trust Him. That's why he says, look inward. Examine yourself. Oh, as we look back this morning to what Jesus has done for us, as we look forward to what we're going to enjoy and all the glories of heaven one day, we first this morning must look inward. We must examine ourselves. And that's why I ask every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Vicki, as you come to the piano and begin to play softly, I believe that biblically we should have a moment of invitation before we take of the Lord's Supper, to give you a moment to examine yourself. There may be someone here who's not right with God in some area of your life. You need to get right with God today. Not just because we're having the Lord's Supper, because you need to get right with God. Jesus demands it. There may be someone here who says, Pastor, I've never truly trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I've been in churches, I've been to different programs, and I've done different things, but I've never accepted Jesus' free gift of salvation. I've never acknowledged Him as my Savior. I never trusted Him by faith. I want to invite you to come this morning. Our deacons are already here at the front. They'll be glad to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved today. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He gave it all so you could have it all. And one day we're going to have more than we've ever imagined. It's only by faith. It's only by trusting Him, what He's already done on the cross. It's not about being a member of this church or be a member of some other denomination. It's not getting emotional. It's not by going through a program. It's by simply by faith, trusting, believing, and accepting, receiving His gift of salvation. That's why we take the bread this morning to remember that body. That's why we take the cup to remember the precious blood. And we don't do this thing to be saved. We do it because we're saved. Every child of God who has followed Christ as Savior, who has followed already in the ordinance of baptism by immersion and followed in obedience and a public demonstration of their faith, can take of the bread and take of the juice no matter where you go to church. It's not about a denomination this morning. It's about the family of God. We invite those who are visiting with us this morning, if that is you, we invite you to join us and worship with us and take of the bread and take of the cup this morning. But only if you've examined yourself and you're right with God. Oh, Heavenly Father, today, thank you for sending your precious Son, Jesus, to die on the cross. Thank you for shedding His precious blood, dying for our sins, and 3 days later getting up out of the grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Now today, He is sitting at your right hand, making intercession for us. One day He's coming back. He's going to take us all home. What a joy that would be. Till that day comes, Lord, you've given us a way to remember. You've given us a way to celebrate. Oh, it's a celebration this morning, by taking the bread and taking the juice of what you've done for us. We ask, Lord, as we continue this service today, to draw us close to yourself, and may your Holy Spirit just have full reign and freedom in this place. And this I pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. As our deacons have prepared the elements this morning as we serve the Lord's Supper, let me remind you, if you know Christ as your Savior, if you followed in obedience and His command of public demonstration of your faith by baptism, and you're ready to take of the Lord's Supper this morning and you've examined yourself, we invite you to join us. Even though you're not a member of this church, I don't believe the Bible teaches that you have to be a member of this church to take of this juice. I bought it at Lifeway. You can go buy it at Lifeway. And then we bought the bread at Lifeway. I mean, you know, it's not limited to us. It's for the body of Christ. It's the family of God. We invite you to worship with us today. As I read, Brother Gary is going to be prepared to come and lead us in prayer. And when Jesus had given thanks, He broke the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Gary, would you give thanks for the bread this morning?
Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We lift you up, for you are worthy. Lord, as we partake of this bread, we are reminded that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and lived a life with the purpose of teaching, but Lord, obedience unto death. You gave, Father, your body to be broken for us. Lord, what may we not forget that you were human, that you felt the pain that should have been ours, and you gave yourself because you loved us. Lord, I pray that we remember with a humble heart, and Lord, that we lift up our hearts to you, that you might continue to work in each of our lives to draw us closer to you. We praise you and thank you for all that you have done and are doing in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Afterwards, in the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, he had taken the cup and prepared it, told his disciples, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Brother Gary's going to come and give thanks for the cup.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your love for us. As John the Baptist said, as he saw the Lord Jesus approaching, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Lord, we know that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Father, it had to be blood that was pure, blood that was unstained from man's sin. And it can only be through Jesus Christ, who gave himself and shed his blood freely for us. Lord, we've had a record tonight, today, of your power. That healing, Father, is not just foreign lands that is here today. Your power is with us and in us. And you would have us to give our bodies and to be a sacrifice of our life in you, to allow you to use us to present the gospel to others. Lord, may we have a desire to share your love and mercy, your loving kindness, and your forgiveness to others. May we have a burden. May it bother us if we do not have an opportunity to share Christ with others. And Lord, I pray that for every believer here, that you give them an opportunity even this week or even this day to share Christ wherever they are. Lord, we have nothing to fear. We have that power that brought healing to that lame boy. That same power is within each believer. The Holy Spirit is there to give, to guide, to convict, to teach, and to be our power. May we learn to rely. We thank you, Father, for the shed blood, for it has brought to us forgiveness of sin. As we look forward to that, we look forward to the time that we can enter Jerusalem. And Father, be with you to see the light of the world and experience and praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Jesus said, as often as you drink this cup, you show forth my death until I come. One of the gospel writers in recording these events records that following the time in the upper room, Judas had already made his way to carry out his betrayal, that Jesus and his disciples made their way out of the city, down by the walls of Jerusalem between the city and the Mount of Olives, an area called the Kidron Valley. As they made their way along the Kidron Valley to the base of the Mount of Olives, where there was a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. There he would pray. Later he would be betrayed and arrested. One gospel writer tells us that as they made their way to the Mount of Olives, they sang a hymn. We don't know what they sang. Because if we knew what they sang, then we'd have to sing it every single time. We're Baptist. We'd have to sing the same thing. So it's good we don't know what they sang. But if they had had this one, I'm sure Peter or John would have said, oh, I think we ought to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Jeannie's going to come. She makes her way here. She and Vicky are going to prepare to lead us in Amazing Grace. And we'll sing that as we close out our service today. While she's preparing for that, let me just say a word, a couple things about our services next Sunday. Next Sunday will be Super Sunday.